Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
So Brody, I know that you are in Utah now, but is that where your experiences that you wrote me about took place?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm still currently in Utah. I was born here, been here for about 19 years, and both of my experiences happened close to both of my birthdays. So the two encounters with what I like to think as skinwalkers happened pretty close to my birthday when I was 16. And I don't know if that's related, but it was pretty weird because the first encounter I had, it was pretty close to my birthday. And then the second encounter I had, which was a year later, was really close to my birthday. So I don't know what that's about.
So it was when you were 15 and 16 or 16 and 17?
Actually, I think it was 16 and 17.
You are in Utah now. You grew up there. That's where this happened. Did you want to? Now, you don't have to. I always just give the option because sometimes it's pertinent to the story. Do we need to know more specifically where these took place, or did you want to share that, or are we just sticking with Utah?
Yeah, I could go into specifics because I think it's actually important. So,
And let me stop you right there just so we're not giving any generalities. I just want to maybe jump into that first story and then you can start from the beginning of that one. That way we're kind of not, because I that was a question that I wasn't trying to lead you and jump you ahead of things, but just start out at the first one when you were 16, where you were, why you were there, all that good stuff. And if there's anything, of course, else that you feel like you need to set up, feel free.
Okay, cool. That sounds awesome. Thank you. So I don't really like using the word encounter, but I can't really think of another word that would fit best because I really don't know what or who it was. I still to this day, I can't give you an answer, and I don't want to because I don't want to like lead people on or make people think that I have all the answers and I know what I heard or I know what I saw, because I didn't. I don't know. And so I was 16, and I remember it was around my birthday because we went up Big Cottonwood Canyon to do a fire for my birthday. And this was around 12-ish. It was pretty late. Like we got there around 12. And so wait, let me quickly go back. So we were driving around and we thought, hey, let's go up Big Cottonwood Canyon and do a fire. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. We'll get some people together. It'll be a good time. And so we got some firewood. We brought some lawn chairs, you know, all the essential stuff. And we had to hike there. Not a very long hike. It wasn't hard. It was pretty easy, but you couldn't just park there and walk right to the campsite. You had to hike a little bit. And so we get there, we start the fire. I remember we actually had some technical difficulties trying to get that fire going. And then
you mean you didn't have Les Stroud there to coach you guys on things, right? He's got different ways to start a fire.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of 16-year-olds who didn't know anything. You know, we're having a great time. We finally get the fire started. I was there talking with a girl that I never met, so you know, life was good. And then it's probably about like 12:40 now, and mind you, so there's probably about like eight or nine people there. I want to say. and I hear a really loud whistle, and I didn't really think much of it, but I remember prior we were joking about something, and we were telling scary stories or something, or I don't really, it's my memory's so bad, I don't really remember what we were talking about, but I remember I definitely heard this loud aggressive whistle, and I was like, that's kind of weird, because it's, you know, it's almost like one, and birds aren't out. From, you know, from what I know, birds usually aren't out at midnight singing, so I was like, that's kind of strange. And it definitely sounded like a person whistling. I want to like exaggerate that as much as I can. It definitely sounded like it had lips. It sounds weird, but that's the only way I can describe it. And I go, did you guys hear that? And of course they're all like, dude, like, let's stop, bro. I had another person who heard it too, and we were just kind of like, that was weird, but we didn't really think much of it. So, you know, we move on from that, and then it's probably about 2 a.m. now, and we're starting to leave, and two of my friends stayed behind to put out the fire. And I remember we left early because someone there had to drop another person off because they had a curfew or something. So we had to leave early, and two of my friends said, yeah, we'll stay behind and put out this fire. And we figured out a place for us to all meet to make sure that we were all safe. And so we talked about it. We decided on a spot, and then we all started walking there. And I'm with this girl that I just met. We're talking. I just remember feeling really uneasy. And I think everyone there too, like, I haven't talked to these people in a long time, but I bet if I brought it up, they would say the same thing. Like, we all just kind of felt really uneasy. I don't know if that's because they thought I was pranking them, or I was just like lying about the whistling, but I can definitely say me and this girl were definitely feeling super uneasy, and just like we were being watched, like the hair on the back of my neck was standing up. And then as we're getting close to the spot, I hear screaming, like just loud screaming. And it's my friend. And I'm like, that doesn't sound very good. Should I go back? And I'm asking the girl, and she's like, no, they're fine. Let's just keep going. Cause I could tell she's freaked out. She doesn't want to go back there. And I'm like, okay. Cause the spot we all decided to meet at wasn't very far from the fire. And so we get there, and we're all talking, and we're like, well, our two other friends aren't here yet. And so we wait about another 15 minutes. And then the other people that we came with said, sorry, like we have to go. Like, I'm sure they're fine, but we have to leave. So I'm like, well, I don't feel comfortable just leaving. So I'm going to stay here and wait for them. And this is where I start to get really worried, because about an hour and a half goes by. Me being this 16-year-old kid, I have no clue. Like, I don't know what to do. I decide, you know what? I'm just going to call the police. So I call the police. I explain what's happening. I go, so my friends aren't back yet. We talked about meeting at the spot after we did this fire, and they haven't been back for about 2 hours. Maybe not 2 hours. Like max hour and a half. Sorry, I take that back. Definitely not 2 hours, but it was definitely longer than an hour. And then they transfer me to the local sheriff who's in the area. And then I hear, who are you on the phone with? And then I turn around and they're right there. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I feel super bad. I explain to the sheriff what's going on. And I thought he was going to be super mad, but he was very nice, very considerate. He said, no, don't be sorry. We're just glad that everyone's okay. And, you know, figured that out, and everything was good there. And then I'm talking to him, and I'm like, what were you guys doing? And they said, well, when we were trying to put the fire out, I guess my friend's foot caught on fire because they were trying to stomp it out. So that explained the scream. So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. But then they said, well, our phones died. Either their phones died, or they, like, I don't remember. Yeah, their phones died. So they had no light, and they were like, well, now what do we do? Because by this time they said that we were already pretty far down away from the campsite. And so then they say, they hear very slow footsteps walking toward them, and they hear that whistling. They said that, this is how they were telling me. They said, Brody, remember how you said you heard that whistle? I was like, yeah. And he said, well, we heard that. And then they said they heard just this really quiet, but like loud footsteps just walking towards them. And they got so freaked out, they just started booking it, but they couldn't see. This is like, it was pitch black out there. They just booked it. They didn't know what to do. They were freaked out. They said they just heard this aggressive I can't really think of a better word. It was just like really loud, aggressive whistling. Like someone was really trying to get your attention, if that makes sense. Like they said the footsteps just got, or kept getting super loud. And, but it never sped up. Like it never sounded like it was running, but it just constantly sounded super loud. Like whatever it was huge. They eventually found the trail. I don't know how, cause it was pitch black, but I'm assuming this is why it took them about an hour and a half to get back. And they just started booking it the entire way. And they eventually made it back to us, but that's why, you know, they were so late. And after they told me that, just all the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I was freaking out. I was like, you guys aren't like messing with me or anything, right? And they're like, no, dude, we're serious. Like we thought you were the one who was joking. And so after they told me that, I thought about it for a little bit and I was like, okay, well, cause I'm the kind of person, like I try to think logically. I don't try to jump to conclusions because I try not to be biased because I'm way into the paranormal and Sasquatch and all this stuff, but I don't want it to get in the way of my judgment because I don't want to just be telling people, well, this is what I saw and you can't change my mind.
Right.
You know? So when they told me that, I was trying to think logically, I was like, okay, so let me try to think of what it could be. And so to this day, I think if it was a person, either whatever it was, it really freaks me out because I heard the whistling around like 1240 ish. And then they heard it around 2 ish. So whoever was there was clearly watching us and staying there that entire time. They were there. So that freaked me out either way. Like I still don't know what this is or what it was, but it freaks me out just thinking about that huge, you know, gap of around 2 hours, someone or something was there just watching us. When I emailed you, I always kind of just say skinwalker because I don't really know what else to call it, because when I've told the story to people and they've shared some of their stories or knowledge of lore, and it kind of matched up with what I heard or, you know, what my friends heard. And I that's just what I know. I think like people say that they whistle a lot at night. Like, and if you hear whistling at night, it's, you know, get out of there. But yeah, that's my first experience. And that one really freaked me out, especially me being super young. That kind of messed with my mind. Like when it came to like doing anything outdoors, I didn't really want to do it anymore after that.
Yeah, I can't say I blame you, especially when you're like waiting for friends and they're taking forever. Yeah. And you're like, okay, yeah, let's go. So I looked up Cottonwood Canyon because I've heard of it, just couldn't remember where it was. And because people are going, well, you're saying Utah, you're saying Skinwalker. How close is Skinwalker Ranch? I know this is going to come up. And if I don't clear this up now, it's going to come up in emails. So this Cottonwood Canyon is just east of Salt Lake City. And it looks to be about nearly 3 hours to Skinwalker Ranch. So we're just going to go ahead and get that out of the way so that people aren't wondering if you're like, oh, well, maybe it's, you know, Skinwalker Ranch or something. But that's not really exactly what we're getting at here. But have you, Brody, since you're into this stuff, you mentioned Sasquatch specifically. I mean, because there are reports in Utah, they're not as prevalent as other states, but has there been any reports in and around Cottonwood Canyon at any time of the year where, especially that time of year when you guys were there?
So yeah, we were there, you know, it was October, or you know what, it may have actually been late September. I just know it was because of my birthday. So it was, and my birthday is, I don't really care. It's October 3rd. So it was really close to there. So that's why we did it. So I know it was between September and October. But I have actually heard, I haven't heard any reports up Big Cottonwood Canyon or Little Cottonwood Canyon. And I just want to specify, I was up Big Cottonwood Canyon. We were up there pretty deep, and it can get pretty dense in there. So I really don't know what it was. But I do know, I could possibly do some research, but I've never heard of any reports in Big Cottonwood and Little Cottonwood Canyon. And I actually have some theories on why, because I have some experience with Sasquatch, but it's very far away from those areas. And I have a theory on why. If you'd like me to go into it, I could.
I kind of would actually. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Like I'm just like, I'm 19 years old. Like what do I know? But I'm way into this stuff, and I tried to come at it from a very scientific standpoint. I just want to, you know, state that I get a lot of my research from Jeff Meldrum. I think he's an incredibly he's just a genius, in my opinion. Like, I think, you know, he's been an anthropologist for, like, I think 25 years. And I when I hear him speak and when I hear about his theories, I think, you know, this guy, like, out of everyone, I think I'm going to get my information from this guy instead of some Yahoo on the internet or, you know, whatever, because it sounds like he spent a lot of time, you know, researching this and actually doing some of the stuff and creating his own theories. So yeah, I get a lot of my theories and knowledge from Jeff Meldrum. And I just thought I'd let you know, because mostly, like, everything I'm saying, most of it's not mine. Some of it is, but I just thought I would say that. But so I don't think they're up Big Cottonwood, Little Cottonwood Canyon, because I think it's too low of an elevation and it's too close to, you know, Salt Lake City. And in my opinion, I think once it starts snowing, and this year we didn't get a lot, but usually we get a lot of snow. I think that they come down to a lower elevation, you know, like any animal. Like, once it starts snowing, they have to move downwards to get, you know, food that isn't frozen over. So I think during winter they come down at lower elevations, but I think when it's hotter, I think they stay at a very high elevation. So I think that's possibly why there's not a lot of reports in Big Cottonwood and Little Cottonwood Canyon, because it can get pretty high. Like, you can get up to a pretty high elevation up there, but compared to where I've had my experiences, it's, you know, it's nothing. So that's just that's my theory on why there's not a lot of reports on Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon, because I think it's just too close and it's too low of an elevation.
Do you know what the elevation is offhand, just roundabout?
I honestly have no idea, to be honest with you. I just know, like, I've researched this before, because after I went up Payson, which is where I've had a lot of my experiences, I was curious. I wanted to see the difference, and there's a pretty big difference, especially where I go up Payson. It's a very large difference to at least where I was in Big Cottonwood Canyon.
Yeah, I was just trying to Google it here, but it's not coming right up. So no big deal. It's not the end of the world if we don't know the elevation. But yeah, I tend to agree with you there. And I remember looking up, like, Dixie National Forest, where I had my shadow person experience, getting really excited because there is one or two, which isn't very many, sightings in that area. I forget exactly where it was, but just being excited at the prospect of them being there, but just thinking, you know, that was probably a total fluke, like they were moving through the area, or one of them had gone rogue and was probably never seen again in that particular part of Utah. Utah's just not really a Bigfoot hotspot.
Yeah. So Shannon, I just like to say that at that first experience or encounter, or whatever you want to call it, I didn't actually know that much about Sasquatch. And so now that I'm looking back on it, and now that I know more, I'm thinking to myself, it could have been one. Like, I highly doubt it, but it could have been one, because I know they like to whistle, and I know they love, you know, their master at mimicry. Mm-hmm. So I think back on it, and I'm like, you know what? It could have been, because my friend said whatever it was huge. And so I really don't know.
Well, and they said they heard something kind of walking towards them, right? And they're like, we're out of here.
Yeah, that's when they decided, you know what? Forget the flashlights. Let's just start running.
But did they literally, like, run because they were scared, or they just decided let's leave now? Oh, really?
They said they just started fully sprinting. I've had this, and a lot of people have had this that I've heard on your podcast and other podcasts. And when you're in the presence of one of these things, you get that fight or flight. Some people blame it on, you know, they say they're paranormal or supernatural. I think it's a primal instinct that when they're in, like, you can sense them, if this makes sense. And, like, that fight or flight kicks in, because I think when you're in the presence of a predator that's higher in the food chain than you, there's something in your brain telling you to run. Like, you shouldn't be here. Like, get out of here.
I'm surprised that we even have that still, you know, we haven't stared at screens so long and been out of touch with nature for so long that most of us would even have that kind of reptilian predatory side of our brain still. I wonder if it's starting to die, but at least we still have it for now.
Yeah. Would you like me to talk about the second experience that I had that really kind of Okay, so this one actually happened. I told you before, and I feel bad because I have bad anxiety. And so, like, when you called me, I was, like, super anxious, and I think I may have been slurring some words. And so I think before I said 17, but I'm pretty sure I was 18. So I didn't mean to, like, I wasn't purposely trying to lie. I just think I got kind of nervous.
Don't worry about it.
So I just thought I would state that. So, yeah, this was when I was 18. And there's this app called Randonautica. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's really stupid. It's like, it's this app that you download, and it sends you to this supposed, like, it sends you to, like, random locations, and sometimes it'll send you to, like, abandoned places or supposed haunted areas or whatever. And so me and my friend, we were like, hey, let's try this app out, because we saw it on the internet and we're like, yeah, it seems cool. It sends us up this mountain next to Foothill Drive. And this is very close to Salt Lake City. I want to specify that. We were very close. Like, we could still see the city, but it sent us up a literal mountain, and there was no trail. So we were, I don't know what they refer to it in hiking. I think it's called, like, bushwhack, or I can't remember what it's called, but when there's no trail, so you just go. There's a term for it in the hiking community, but I can't think of a term right now. But we were just going right up this mountain, and we're like, oh, I bet this is going to be so cool. Like, it's probably going to lead us to somewhere, like, abandoned, or maybe like a tunnel system, whatever. And my friend's regretting it. He's, like, yelling at me, 'cause he has, like, Vans on, and he's like, dude, why'd you make me do this? I was like, what do you mean? We were, like, bored. Like, this is something to do. This is fun. The one mistake that I did make is this was around, like, it was like 8:30. So it was getting kind of dark, and I didn't realize how far it was going to take us in. And so we get to the top of this mountain, and we're starting to go down this ravine, and then we both kind of stop and look at each other, and we're like, all right, this is, like, it's getting way too dark, because now it's like 9, and it says this location it wants to take us at, it's like at the bottom of this ravine, and this ravine was super deep, and we're just like, all right, let's just call it. And we were just like, we're not in the right shoes, it's way too dark, we don't want to get lost, we're not on a trail, we wouldn't know where to go from, you know, we wouldn't know where to go if we got there. I mean, I guess we could just go back up, but, like, it was getting way too dark, and we were both getting kind of uncomfortable, and we were like, let's be smart. Let's go back to the car. You know, what's funny is I vividly remember him saying, so, 'cause we actually started hanging out a lot because we're both way into the paranormal. And he goes, so Brady, what are skinwalkers? And I think this is just kind of a funny coincidence, because we were talking about it for probably like 5 minutes, and I was explaining to him the lore and where like its origin and Skinwalker Ranch and all that stuff. And I kid you not, probably 5 minutes after we started conversating about it, I hear the exact same whistle that I did when I was 16. This time it was way closer, and it was right behind us. And I got a little I don't like using PTSD because I don't have it, but I don't know what other word comes close to it. Like, as soon as I heard it, I started having a panic attack.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My friend didn't know how to react, because he's like, what is that? And this time it was way, I think this is what my friends experienced, because when I heard the whistle when I was 16, it was very quiet and far away. But this was like, it sounded right next to me, and it was loud. I could, like, and it was whistling way, like, I think I heard about 10 whistles. And it all had kind of a similar, I get melody or rhythm to it. And we just started booking it. And then we got to this, there was this rock that we crouched behind, because I didn't know what to do. And I'm not even afraid to admit it, I started crying, because it scared me so much, because it just reminded me of the time I was at Big Cottonwood Canyon, because it sounded just like what I heard at Big Cottonwood Canyon. So I just, like, I was having a full on panic attack, and my friend didn't know what to do. He's like, bro, you're good. He's like, chill, bro. You're okay. And I could tell how I was reacting was really freaking him out, because he had no idea, like, what was going on. Like, we heard whistles, but I don't think he thought that much of it. But when he saw the way I was reacting, I think it started really freaking him out. And eventually it stopped, And I was like, hey, let's get back to the car now. We also, when we ran, we got off the direction we were coming up from. So I had no idea where we were. Mind you, I could still see the city, so I wasn't panicking that hard. But we just started booking it down this mountain, and we were running through bushes, trees. And I remember I parked in the neighborhood because I was just following the directions of this app. So like it said park here. So I parked in this neighborhood and I could see the neighborhood. It was directly down from us. So that's where we just started kind of speed walking down. We weren't like fully running. We were at one point, but at that point we were kind of just speed walking, and we had so much trouble getting down there. It took probably about 30 minutes, and it should have taken about 10 minutes, but it took us like 30 minutes. And I remember after we got down to the car, we were just covered head to toe in scrapes and scratches. And I would like, I thought Arlen, you know, or so his, I don't think he care or he would care. His name's Arlen. He's a really good friend of mine. He's way into this stuff too. He's very excited. Like when I told him that I was coming on this podcast, he's very excited. I said, Arlen, you know what I just realized? We were talking about skinwalkers and then that happened. And he's like, that's very true. And so I went on Google and I researched like, what does whistling mean at night, or skinwalker behavior or whatever. And I actually found this really interesting article that was, I don't know, actually, I don't remember who published it, but I think it was like a Native American lore website. And it said, if you hear whistling at night, get out of there. One of their skinwalkers, it says one of their main objective is to get you to run away from them in fear and accidentally hurt yourself. And when I read that, I was like, that is an insane coincidence, because as we heard the whistling, we were running through bushes and trees and we were all scratched up. So I was like, that's very interesting. So that's kind of why when I emailed you, I just kind of automatically associated those two experiences I had, one when I was 16, one when I was 18, with being skinwalkers.
Now, Brody, when you say they were whistling, in both instances, was it like someone or something whistling a tune of some sort?
Yes. So I could try to recreate it. It really wasn't long. It was like, it was really similar to that.
Just over and over again?
Over and over again. Ugh. And it definitely wasn't an animal. I don't know. It could have been, but like, this was like either a person or something else. I don't know how to describe it, because both occasions, it was pretty late at night. This experience I just talked about wasn't that late at night. It was like 9 or 9:30-ish. But still, I mean, they sounded like exactly the same. And that's what really freaked me out. And that's what kind of gave me a mini panic attack, because I just got instant flashbacks of when I was 16 and what my friends were describing. I was like, this is probably what they felt.
Well, because that really ties it together. If you have two different locations about a year apart, and it's also very strange that you were using. Okay, so Randonautica, for anybody that doesn't know, is an app. I think you can still get it. They used to have a better logo. It used to be this cool like owl with an upside down head. I think they changed that.
Yeah.
I like the original one, but that's neither here nor there. Randonautica is something that it's supposed to be built around the idea of consciousness and quantum thought and quantum computers and quantum everything, right? So you're supposed to get on there and you think of your intent, and it will then generate a point that you are supposed to go to. Interestingly enough, there have been people that there was I think that one of the best ones was in, well, not best ones, one of the most wow factor Randonautica incidents was the kids that were saying that their intent was death, and they found a body in a suitcase on Alki Beach.
Yep.
And that was no BS. That did happen. And there you go. So, that is Randonautica. And it's funny, cause I don't know if you've seen this, Brody, kind of side note, but I have gone down the rabbit hole with the whole Randonautica thing, and there's entire YouTube channels, and granted they have a lot of subscribers, so they have to add some, you know, fluff in there and drama.
That'd be entertaining.
But I'm kind of fascinated by that app. So, okay, so my long-winded way of saying that was, it was very strange that, okay, the first time, okay, you hear some whistles, it was creepy, but then the only reason you went to the second location was because Randonautica took you there, and then you hear the yep. exact same tune. That would freak me the heck out, too.
Yeah, it did. I'd also like to state, I forgot to mention this, but when we first started hanging out, we were quote unquote ghost hunting. We wanted to see some stuff. And that's why I actually downloaded the app, because I heard people use it for paranormal experiments. So I thought my intention, and both of our intention, was to see something paranormal, or hopefully that it led us somewhere paranormal. So I thought that was, you know, kind of a scary coincidence as well.
See, it's funny because the last time I went on a trip with the guys for Small Town Monsters, we were trying to get Seth to do there. We're like, let's go Randonautica King. Let's do this, man. Yeah. And he's like, I'm not doing that crap. I think he's just scared. That's all. But that's kind of cool. It almost seems like yeah. there's really something to that. So you guys' intent was, in fact, paranormal, kind of ghosty, kind of spooky.
Yeah.
But what are the chances of the same melody coming out of the woods at you? And that's really scary that it was that close. And I can imagine you, and it's sad to imagine this, but crouching behind a rock and being that terrified. I mean, that's not good.
No, yeah, I actually think retelling it, I get goosebumps every time, and I kind of wish I didn't experience it, because it really freaked me out. And I'm never going to forget that, because I felt so unsafe and I felt so vulnerable in that moment, specifically because we were in the middle of nowhere. I saw the city, but we were so far from the neighborhood and it was so dark. And I just felt so uncomfortable and scared. And oh, it was horrible. But I mean, yeah, I almost wish I didn't experience it, because that really kind of messes with me today when I go out in the mountains.
You do still go out. Have you changed the way that you venture out and do these kinds of things?
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because my other stories that I'm going to tell you about Sasquatch are kind of related to that other experience I had, because it changed the way I do it now, and I still do it, and I love doing this kind of stuff. Anything to do with nature, I'm all for it. I love hiking, I love camping, but these past experiences have kind of changed the way I do some things. So I don't know if you want me to get before I actually talk about the other experiences I have, I'd like to state that the experience when I was 16 that I had up Big Cottonwood Canyon is very, very, very far from where I heard the whistling on Randonautica when I was 18. It was very far. Foothill Drive, it's not even really a forest area. Foothill Drive is next to like a bunch of very expensive houses, and it's somewhat close to the capital and Salt Lake City itself, or I meant downtown, sorry. So I just thought it was weird of how far away I was. And so that also kind of weirded me out. I was like, It was nowhere close to where I was at Big Cottonwood Canyon.
Now, before you go into the Sasquatch stuff, Brody, what did your friend say with this very last experience? What did he say about this whole thing?
Well, so he's way into this stuff. I don't know, maybe not as much as I am. And he really wanted to hear or see stuff. And when we got back in the car, I said, So Arlen, what are your thoughts on what we just heard? And he said, well, I really don't know, but I think it's absolutely terrifying that I asked you what a skinwalker was and we heard that whistling. And then after I showed him that article, I think his mind kind of clicked. He said, okay, maybe this isn't a joke anymore, because I think, I don't know if it was your podcast. I think it was. I think you had a couple guys on and they said, it's like how when you and your friends are bored and you go ghost hunting and it's all fun and games until you actually see a ghost. And I think that's kind of what happened. Like, we weren't necessarily joking. Like, we were just kind of bored and we're like, let's go do this, because we both thought it was interesting. And then once something actually happened, we were like, that may have been a mistake. And I think that's how he kind of saw it. And because now he's more hesitant to come and do this stuff with me. And I think primarily it may be because of that experience.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of one of those be careful what you wish for, and people say the same thing to me because I'm like, I want to see a Bigfoot, and it's definitely the be careful what you wish for.
Yep.
Because you cannot choose your encounter. You cannot choose how you will react and how it will make you feel. And heaven forbid you live somewhere like you do, where you love to go out into the woods and go hiking or camping, and you have admitted that it has changed things quite a bit for you.
Oh yeah, and I don't know if you should I go right into them, or do you have any more questions for me, or anything you want me to go more into?
No, I think I'm done. You can jump right in there, Brody. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. These encounters are the ones that I'm probably the most excited to tell you, because these have happened this year, very recently. And I'm very excited because I don't get the opportunity a lot to talk about these besides with the people I was there with. And I also don't like telling these stories because it's in this community, and especially in Utah, there's a fair amount of people who are also enthusiasts of Bigfoot here, but I don't like telling it because people just kind of think I'm this weirdo who goes out up and pays in late at night and does these vocalizations, and they just think, I don't know if they think I'm crazy, but they just think I'm weird. So I don't really tell them these stories a lot. So I'm very excited and eager to tell you. What got me intrigued is that I went up. So I've gone up almost every trail up Big Cottonwood Canyon and Little Cottonwood Canyon. I think I still have a couple more trails in Little Cottonwood Canyon. So one day I was with my dog and I wanted to go on a hike, and I have a lab that's a year, and he absolutely loves going out in nature. So he's the perfect dog for me. I thought, hey, let me Google somewhere that's kind of far away that I haven't been before. And I found Payson, Utah, and I was like, oh, or Payson Canyon. And they have a lot of good trails up there. So I'm driving to Payson Canyon, and I find this trail called Red Line Lake. I go there, and it's in the afternoon. It's probably around like 5. And it's very beautiful, very pretty. Interestingly enough, this one trail had this like abandoned car, like this 1940s blue. I don't know what model it was, but it was this old blue car that was just in the middle of this field. And it's super weird, super creepy. This isn't really related, but I just thought I'd add that in there. And where the car was located, there was this huge portion of burnt woods. I guess there was a fire there recently. So anyway, so I'm on this trail. I'm loving it. Me, my dog's loving it. I went here because my lab loves swimming. So I thought, oh, cool, we can hike up to this trail and he can cool off in the lake, and then we'll go back down. So that's what we do. We go up to the lake. I'm throwing sticks in the lake. He's jumping in there. He's absolutely loving it. And I think around the time I started listening to Sasquatch Chronicles, or I saw like this documentary, and kind of jokingly, I was doing some whoops and some knocks, and not really actually expecting anything to happen. And as I'm descending down the trail, I hear a whoop, and I kind of actually stopped. Like I just stopped and I stopped and kind of just froze. My whole body froze, and I was like, "This isn't actually happening. Like, no way." And I'm actually really excited. And as I start descending down more, I'm actually getting a little nervous now. I'm like, okay, well, like I literally have nothing. I don't have a gun. I don't have a knife. What am I going to do if I actually run into one of these things? Then I see this huge, like 6 foot tall guy with this like firearm on his side, this walking stick, this like drone on his bag. He was fully equipped, and he goes, hey, how you doing? I'm like, good. How are you? He's like, hear anything interesting up there? And I was like, it's kind of weird. Like, no, anything specifically? And he's like, well, I'm out here squatching. And it just clicked. Like, me and him just clicked, and we talked for about 2 hours up there just about the subject, because I thought it was so cool that I finally met someone who's also into this. Turns out he's the deputy up in Payson. So we were exchanging theories and he was talking about some of his encounters. And I already called him prior to this because I told him that I was coming on here, and he said he wanted me to disclose the location and his name. His name's Chuck. He's a really nice guy. Yeah, he's the deputy up there. And we exchanged phone numbers, and I don't know how it happened, but now I'm in this group chat with him and his friends who are also into this stuff.
So
I just think it's fun.
Sorry to interrupt you, but has Chuck seen a Bigfoot up there?
So I've talked to Chuck a lot about this. I don't think he's actually seen one, but he's had way more vocalization reciprocated back to him up in Payson, and he's heard a lot more than me. He hasn't seen one yet, but he's actually, you know what? He's actually had some rocks thrown at him, and I guess he was out there with his son and some friends, and a huge, he said boulder, but then he told me later that it was more just like a really big rock. Cause I feel like when you say boulder, you think of this like huge rock. It was really big, but it was more just like a big rock. He said it got lifted from the ground and was thrown down this hill where they were leaning against, and it hit his son in the head, and it gave his son a pretty bad concussion. And they said they knew it was lifted off from the ground because they could see that it was lifted up from the ground, because where it was, he said that it was really tightly in there. And he said that something or someone had to actually pull it out from the ground because they could see little, what is it, like finger marks. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's what he told me. And he said he's gotten a lot of calls and screams and knocks back. But yeah, so now I'm in this group chat with a bunch of his buddies. And it's just funny because I'm like this 19-year-old and all of them are like probably in their 30s or something. And I just think it's kind of funny. They're all really nice people, super cool. But yeah, so that's after I met Chuck, I started kind of getting more into this sort of thing. And I started doing more research and I started reading a lot of Jeff Meldrum stuff. And I was like, man, because ever since I was a kid, I've always loved Sasquatch or Bigfoot, whatever you want to call them. I've always been way into this stuff. And so before this though, I was kind of on the fence about it and I kind of just forgot about it. But after I met Chuck and started doing more research, I was like, okay, maybe I should pay more attention. Maybe this is legit now. Like, we have more research and, you know, there's more scientists actually out there doing research and gathering information. I was like, maybe this isn't a joke. Maybe this is legit. And so I had the bright idea, like, you know what? Because Chuck told me that Payson's a very hot, he said he thinks it's a hot spot. He didn't say this, but what I think is, I think it Payson, so once you get far up enough Payson, you actually enter into the Uinta National Forest. And I'm sure you know this. There's actually been quite a few reports in the Uintas of Bigfoot. And I think that Payson is a migrational pattern for them. I think for some reason, I think they kind of dip down into Payson when they're on their way through the Uintas. But I think they're all over the Uintas. And I think occasionally, if you're lucky, you can see them or hear them in Payson. But so that's how I kind of started this whole thing where I go up Payson, because I still do this to this day. What I do is I get some friends. Sometimes I haven't gone alone yet because I'm honestly too scared. But I get some friends and we go up Payson. We go up as high as we can. Now we sit in my car and I do vocals and we just listen and I record everything. So every time I go up there, I record. What we used to do is we'd actually go on a trail and do this, and I would do wood knocks while we're out in the trail. But after these next couple of stories that I'm gonna tell you about kind of made me rethink about actually going on a trail and being out there. Sorry, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but basically the stories I'm about to tell you made it so I didn't actually want to be out there. I didn't want to be doing these calls and these wood knocks while out there in the forest. And now I just do it in my car. I turn my car off and I sit and roll down the windows and I record everything. And I find a nice spot and I do some vocals. So, sorry, I kind of went ahead.
No, that's okay.
So the first time I go up there, I bring my two friends. Arlen was there and my current girlfriend was also there. And at the time we weren't dating though. So, and she's way into the paranormal and stuff like this too. So I was like, this is perfect. You guys can like come up with me. Like, I was like, what do you guys think of this? Does it sound fun? They're like, yeah, we go up and where I met Chuck, that's where we went. I parked the car and we go up Red Line Lake Trail. And I wanted to go in the dark. Cause I don't necessarily think they're nocturnal, but I don't know why, but all the stories and accounts that I've heard, everyone says that they're super active at night, or you get a lot more at night, right? I mean, like, have you heard the same thing or?
For the most part, but there's plenty of encounters during the day or, you know, dusk as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also primarily do it because I feel like it decreases the chances of me accidentally running into another hiker or someone reciprocating it back to me during the daytime or something or whatever. Because I just feel like if I go super late at night, it decreases the chances of someone being out there. So we go out there. I'm doing my thing. I have some vocals that I usually do. We get nothing. They were just kind of spooked because it was super dark and we're in the woods and they were all freaked out and they wanted to go. They wanted to leave a little earlier. I wanted to stay out there a little longer, but we ended up just leaving. We didn't get anything. Second time we go up there, we don't get anything. Third time we go up there, I go to this new place called Jones's Ranch, and it's this very pretty trail that I've gone up many, many times. And it's very, very dense once you get really deep into it. And this one night, I don't know why, but like in this one spot, the echo is just a phenomenal. It's perfect for doing calls. And we're out there hiking and I'm doing some whooping and some screaming and some wood knocks. I get a couple back and I get so excited. Like my whole body's, I'm not scared. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm like, this is what I've been wanting. Like, this is what I've been wanting to hear. My friend Arlen, he's kind of freaked out. I don't think he's liking it as much as I am. And then my current girlfriend at the time is super excited too. That's kind of the end. That nothing else really happened on that third time. And I kind of thought, I was like, well, you know, it's because for me personally, I really want an experience that I can't excuse for being anything else. Like it has to, for me, just for me personally, I want it to be very, very, like I can't excuse it, if that makes sense. Like, a Sasquatch needs to be like 5 feet in front of me and like looking at me or something.
Right. Yeah. It's because, tough to confirm unless you actually see something.
Right. Right. So the other times I heard stuff, I was like, for some reason, it could have been like a camper for some reason. It could have been somewhat like whatever. And there's a bunch of cows up there too. So, oh, that's actually very important too. There's a bunch of cows up there and ranchers. Chuck said that they sometimes will get calls of cattle going missing or ranchers hearing things at night. So that also kind of made me, I was like, okay, maybe Payson's a hotspot. Who knows? And so then the fourth time we go up there and we go to Jones's Ranch, I do my calls, nothing. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Let's go higher. Let me drive up higher. Let me get to a higher elevation. And I stop and I go into the UNA National Forest line now. So now I'm really into the UNAs and I'm like, hey, maybe this is where we hear something. I park the car instantly. I do this one call and I kid you not, in like 2 seconds or 3 seconds after I do it, super close to me, I want to say about maybe like 20 or 30 feet away from my car in the dense forest line, I get an exact mimic of what I just did. And everyone in my car, like everyone's eyes are like super big. We're all kind of just looking at each other. We're all frozen. We're like, is this like, we all heard that, right? And we're like, no one's really saying anything. And I'm like, okay, well, let me do it again. And I do some more calls and I try to make them each. I try to do different ones. And each time I did it, it would mimic it right back. And it was doing a really good job. So I actually get kind of nervous. I drive away. I'm like, oh, like, no way this is actually happening. Like, this is no way. And I turn around. I'm like, okay, I'm going to like, this is all being recorded too. I turn around. So now the forest line where I was hearing it from is on my side to the left of me. Before it was on the right to me. And then I turned around. So now it's on the left and I start doing it. And now it's like super close to me. And I'm sure you know, the term samurai chatter or, mm-hmm. you know, I kid you not, that's exactly what I hear. And at that point I got too freaked out and I just drove away. I said, nope, I'm done. Like, I'm done.
And is that after you had tried to execute samurai chatter and then it came back to you?
No, I didn't do samurai chatter. That's what freaked me out. I didn't do it. it initiated that first. And that really freaked me out. And of course, this is still to this day, I'm so mad. So I, in my car, I have a 2008 Nissan Xterra. And so I have a Bluetooth adapter so I can play music. And it goes in the cigarette lighter. And if you have it in while you're calling somebody or making a recording, it records it through that Bluetooth adapter. So I'm very eager and excited. We're all really excited to listen back to these recordings. And I need to get some better equipment. Currently, I'm just using my phone, but I have a pretty good phone. So I've just been using that to record. But, you know, I want to save up some money and buy better equipment because I'm really into this stuff and I like this. And it's kind of like my hobby. And I'm listening back to it and it sounds like absolute garbage, like absolute garbage. And I'm trying to figure out why. And then I finally figure out it's because I left the Bluetooth adapter in there. And I was so mad at myself. Like the entire ride home, I was swearing. I was so mad. I was like, that's the night where we actually got something. And of course something has to get in the way. It was so cliche. I was like, how ironic that the time I actually get something back, something has to go wrong. I was so angry.
Yeah. So it's trying to record through the microphones in the ceiling or the roof of the car, essentially. Right.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. So it just sounds like garbage. Like you can't hear anything. It sounds like you're recording it through like a Game Boy or something. Like it sounds like everything's like
through a potato. Like that. Yeah.
It just sounds horrible. I don't know. Like, so I was super mad about that, but I was super happy. And then finally I get my other friend who's not into this stuff as much. And I was like, dude, do you want to come up with this? Like last time we heard something that all like shook everybody in the car. And he's like, well, sure. Why not? We go up there. And as we're passing the spot that I heard the noises, he goes, hey, look, there's a car behind the tree line. And I look and I'm like, oh, now I see the car and I'm thinking in my head. Oh no, I'm doubting myself now. I'm doubting what I heard because I drive by and there's a campsite behind that tree line that I heard the noises from.
Oh.
And so I get super disappointed. I'm like, oh, it could have been a person. I was so frustrated. I was like, man, it's nothing. I can't get anything. But you know what? It's funny. This is the night where I heard something that I can't, still to this day, I can't explain what it was. So we go even farther this time and we park next to this trail to the right. So I park my car and there's a trail to the right of me. And I always bring flashlights. I give everyone flashlights. They're very, very powerful flashlights. And I turn the car off and I actually do have a recording of this. My friend actually, hold on, before I get into that, let me finish the story. Sorry. So we park the car and I turn it off. And I have my friend hold out my phone out the window next to the forest line. And I'm doing some vocals. And the forest is just, it's dead. It's dead quiet. I don't hear anything. I'm not getting anything back either. And probably 20 minutes go by. My friend Arland, he looks behind my car and he goes, is someone walking up to the car? And everyone goes like, what? What are you talking about? And we all kind of look behind my car and they're shining their lights behind my car. No one's there. And out of nowhere, my friend Arland in the passenger seat and then my other friend who is directly behind him, they just start telling me to drive. They're like, go, 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 go. And they're screaming at the top of their lungs. And you can hear the fear in their voices. And in the recordings, you can hear all this. And I crank my key in the ignition. I floor it. I've never floored it faster in my life. I've never hit that gas pedal faster in my life. I didn't know what I was driving away from, but their reaction scared me enough that I was like, okay, I think they're being serious here. And as we're driving away, they go, dude, someone is walking up to your car. And I didn't hear anything. So when they told me that, I didn't necessarily not believe them, but I was like, well, I didn't hear anything, but okay, that's pretty creepy. And then I remember that I was recording, he was holding my phone out on the side. They heard it. And I was like, oh my God, I put my AirPods in and I'm listening. There it is. You can hear somebody slowly walking towards my car. And as soon as I hear it, just, I start freaking out. And I wasn't excited this time. I was just freaked out because you really can hear it. And it's not like a cow. It's not like a deer because whatever, whoever this was on 2 feet and you can really clearly hear that in the recording. and they were walking super, super slow. Like, they were trying to be sneaky, which really freaks me out, because I don't know what would have happened to me if I was alone, because I didn't hear it. So I wouldn't have known. But because my friends, they were on the Arlen, who was on the passenger seat, could hear it because it was so close to him. And it's on the recording. You can hear it. And it's definitely someone on two legs. And towards the end, once they start asking if someone's behind my car, you can hear it starting to sprint, which really, really freaked me out. So I'm very grateful to this day that I drove away when I did, because I don't know how close this thing or whoever it was next to my car. And then on the way down, we were discussing, we were like, okay, well, why didn't we see anything when we were looking behind my car? Because we were all shining flashlights behind my car. And then I remembered, I said, we parked directly next to a trail and they weren't looking at the trail. So my theory is whoever, whatever it was slowly approaching my car through that trail. And that really freaks me out, because I'll sometimes listen back to the recording and it's clear as day. You can just hear someone on 2 feet slowly approaching my car.
Which is really creepy, because if it was a person, it would still be creepy, because most people, A, it's dark, it's not smart to sneak up slowly behind people sitting in a car at night. They could be armed. I mean, there's all kinds of situations where that is a really bad idea. It's not impossible, but it would be really stupid for somebody to do that.
What I will say is, so one of my favorite shows that you did was the Olympus episode of that woman who bought the property up in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I love that episode. Amazing.
Donna.
Incredible. Yeah. The recording I have isn't going to be it's not going to be like what she brought on, where you hear it and you get chills. I get chills. Maybe you will. I don't know. I get chills because I was there. But you can definitely hear the footsteps. Like, and what freaks me out is when I would do calls, you can hear me in the recording doing calls. It would stop, and then 2 seconds would pass by, and then it would slowly keep going. And I should also specify that this was around 12:30 at night. So, and we were really, really, really far into the woods. So I don't know I don't know why someone would be out there on this trail at 12:30 at night. And if it was a person, why, or a farmer, like, why weren't they talking? Why weren't they going, hey, what are you guys doing? Like, keep it down. Or like, they weren't saying anything. They were just slowly approaching my car. It's just the weirdest, most bizarre thing.
Yeah, it just wouldn't be what a normal person would do, you know, if they were there to speak to you for some reason. Or like you said, if it was a farmer, a rancher, like, hey, what are you guys doing over there? Most people would speak upon approach in the middle of the night on a dark night to some people in a car. So is at least odd.
It's super bizarre. And I've had nights up there where I'll be doing calls and cows just, they'll absolutely lose their mind. And I don't know if it's connected, because I know that cows, when there's a predator nearby, they get super distressed and they start doing this loud, like, howl. Like, it's kind of scary. Like, if I heard it in the woods, I wouldn't know what it was. But I mean, and like what Chuck told me about some of their cows going missing and hearing all these weird things at night, I definitely think there could be some up there, because I've heard my fair share of weird things. Usually they're not very long. Like it'll be after I do a vocal, and then probably like 5 minutes after I'll get like a scream or a howl back. But then after that, I hear nothing. I honestly think that night, if it was one, I like to think it was, but you know, I don't know. I have no clue. I try to keep an open mind. Like it could have been anything, but I think that I may have been pissing it off, or it was curious, because we were there for like 20 minutes. So I kind of think that it could have been in the area, and I was doing all these calls, and it could, and maybe I was doing them so bad that it was like, what is this? And it's walking up the trails, and it sees this moron in the front seat doing all these wacky noises. And it's like, well, let me check this out. Let me go say hi. So that, you know, that's one thing that I've thought about. And I'm really glad that I drove away when I did, because I have no, I told Arlen, I said, Arlen, if someone would have grabbed you out of the window, like, I don't know what I would have done. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what I would have done, man. Like, what am I going to do?
You're like, I'm sorry, but I may have still driven off.
Yeah, that's what I tell him. I was like, dude, I don't know what I'm going to do to a Sasquatch. Like, what am I going to do?
Have you thought about, and I'm not saying this is a good idea, but it's an idea, okay? Have you maybe thought about, you know, pulling up the Sierra sounds, since you heard Samurai Chatter up there, and playing it through even just your phone, or playing, you know, playing episode 300 of ITF with those crazy sounds that are recorded?
I have. Yeah. My speakers aren't that loud, but what I'm actually planning on doing possibly tonight is my dad has this huge speaker. Cause he's in a band, and so he has all this equipment, and I was thinking about hooking it up to my car and playing some of the Sierra noises, or, you know, other recordings that are supposedly legit, and just seeing what happens. Because I've heard from other people that if you try to do your own vocals, usually, so like sometimes they hear it and they automatically know it's not one of them, and it's, it's a human or whatever, and they don't do anything back, and they actually move farther away from you. So I'm trying to experiment and do some new things, cause I want to see one, but then right after I say that, I don't think I do, because of all the things that I've heard and how negatively it usually affects people. I don't think I actually want to see one, but I do at the same time, because I don't know how I'm going to react. But I really want to see one, but I'm scared of how I'm going to react or handle it.
Right. Well, just don't, because it sounds like so far you don't, and you're very smart about this. So far you don't go out by yourself, which is the number one rule.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you didn't. I was done. You're fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't want to do that. In fact, the most recent time that I went with my girlfriend, and that was a mistake, because we're both like super like paranoid and anxious. So it was just a bad combination, because as we're driving up there, we're just kind of like freaking out literally at nothing.
Right.
Like we're all anxious. I didn't even want to do any vocals. I was terrified. I felt super uncomfortable. What's funny is, like, every time I go up there, I actually hope I don't hear anything. And then as I start driving down, I'm like, man, I wish I heard something.
You know, I think one of the best things for anybody to do, especially when it comes to, well, I guess any of it, Sasquatch, ghosts, whatever, take somebody super skeptical with you if they're willing to go. I think that is the best thing that any of us could do, that are excited about it and we want the experience. And they not only will they help any excitable people come back down to earth, but if something happens enough to change their mind, then you're probably really onto something.
Yep, that's exactly how I think of it. That's why I try to always bring my friend who's not into this, very skeptical about it. And he was there when we heard the footsteps, and I think that kind of, it didn't change his mind about a lot of things, but he was like, that was very scary and bizarre. Like, he was freaked out.
So for him to say that, then that was something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I would just like to state, if it's okay, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I would really like to disclose on what I think Sasquatch is, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So I look at it, and I know it, you know, there's a bunch of different theories and people look at it from a bunch of different standpoints, but for me personally, I look at it from a very scientific standpoint. I don't think they're supernatural paranormal. I think that I like to think of them as a undiscovered great North American ape. I just think that they're so low in numbers and they've evolved in that environment so well that they can go they just go undiscovered and unseen because they're just so greatly adapt for that environment. And, you know, when it comes to speed, agility, strength, sense of smell, sense of hearing, they're so greatly adapted in those areas that we can't seem to find them. And I think also that they're in such a low number that has something to play into. And Jeff, I keep talking about Jeff Meldrum, but one of my favorite things is I was watching this video and he asked the host, he said, "When's the last time you went camping or hiking and saw a dead black bear?" And I thought, that's a really good point. I've never seen a dead bear. He said, I guess this is true, or this is what he said. He says, predators, for some reason, if they know they're going to die, will go and die at really high elevations. So I think that also plays into it. You know, if this is a species that is in a very low number population wise, and they can possibly live up to, who knows, you know, like 60, 50 years, and they know that they're going to die, they could just go up to a really high elevation and die, you know? I think that could possibly be an answer to why we haven't found a body yet.
Do you think it's possible that they bury their dead?
Yes, I do. I've heard that theory before. And when I heard that, I was like, that's kind of silly. But then I remembered that elephants don't bury their dead, but they actually have a graveyard. You know, they will sometimes go to a certain specific area to die. Mm-hmm. They'll go and mourn their dead. So I thought, hey, maybe it's not that crazy. Maybe they have an area where they bury their dead and they go and mourn them.
You know, and I think I've heard Cliff Berrickman mention, you know, you were talking about the whole black bear body thing from Meldrum. I think I remember Cliff saying something about if an elephant dies, full-size elephant, it only takes 6 months for literally everything to be picked away, taken away, returned to the earth. And 6 months sounds like a long time, but if you've ever seen an elephant in person, that's really not that long. And if it, you know, you take something that's, elephants don't live in high covered areas in the woods, obviously, but if you take something like a Sasquatch and they know they're going to go, they go up even in a worse situation for us, higher elevation, you know, up shale cliffs and lots of woods. Heaven forbid they find a cave. Forget it. We're not finding them.
Yep, exactly. I think of it the same way. And I don't think it's crazy. If they're in a very low, you know, I think they're not endangered. I've thought about that, but maybe they do it on purpose. You know, maybe they want to keep a low number. Maybe they're so intelligent that they have, this sounds silly, but maybe they have like rules against how much they breed or, you know, whatever, like maybe they try to keep, maybe on purpose, they keep their numbers low. I don't know. I mean, I just think of them as somewhat intelligent animals. I don't think they're like, I don't think they're paranormal or spiritual in any way, but you know, other people do. That's just not how my brain works. I'm not very religious and I don't know if that plays in. I'm an atheist. So I look at it from a very scientific standpoint. So that's just how I see it. I just see them as an undiscovered species that we just haven't seemed to found a body yet, but I don't think it's that crazy. I think maybe in the next 5 years, if more people are going out there, I don't see why we wouldn't find one.
Do you think it's possible, and I've postulated this before, and I always refer to the movie 300. You know, they would go up to the cliff, and this is really dark, but they would toss off the babies that are not a strong genetic bloodline to keep, you know, the genetics going and to keep the species thriving. I mean, do you think that is a possibility with Bigfoot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't really see them as, when it comes to intelligence and consciousness, I don't put them on the same plane as humans, but I definitely think they're smart. I don't think they're dumb. I think they know what they're doing. I think they know that they don't want to be seen. And I think as we were evolving right next to them. And I think there was a period of time because I think they've been around for hundreds of years. And I say that because of, you know, Native American legends and how you can actually see them on cave drawings. They tell stories of how they would kidnap their children or you know, take the elderly or the sick. And I think there was a time where we were actually coexisting, and for a little bit they were on top, they were in control. And then we started getting smarter and we started inventing more tools. And then they slowly became, you know, they started lagging behind, but not too far behind, but they started lagging behind in the aspect of creation and making tools and making, you know, living next to bodies of water and starting to build next to bodies of water and all that, and where we are now. But I don't think they were too far behind. And I think they did it on purpose, because I think they realized that we were becoming more dangerous, because we were, you know, using our intelligence for the greater good of our survival. And so I think they purposefully kind of stayed behind, but they, you know, they were evolving in other areas where we wouldn't be able to see them and we wouldn't be able to catch them or kill them. And I think they've evolved perfectly in areas that they are in now. You know, I think they're very intelligent. I think they're doing a great job of staying undiscovered. And I do think they're doing it on purpose. I don't think they're, you know, I don't know what else to really say. I think they're doing it on purpose. I don't think they want to be found, not for any like silly reason. I think they realize how dangerous we are and how we've grown as a population. And I think they realize that we can't coexist, because we're so, like, it's in our genetics. We're so aggressive when we're so into domination and taking over. Oh, other
we are
areas.
Yeah, we are destructive, and they definitely know
we're
that.
Very destructive.
And look how we treat each other. Look what we do to each other.
Yeah.
So they're
exactly.
Smart to stay away from us. I don't blame them a bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't either.
Do you watch Bigfoot movies in general? Have you seen some of them or most of them?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Is there a Bigfoot from one of these movies that if you could, you know, you're within 6 feet and you could see its face really, really well, to where there's your confirmation experience, you know, that's a Bigfoot, but oh my God, I didn't want to see that Bigfoot. Like, that would maybe, you know, that would make you question going to the woods and all this stuff. Is there one of those Bigfoot that you're like, oh heck no?
Yes. So first I want to say, so there's this amazing film that I love called Willow Creek.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever seen it, but
oh yes.
Oh, you have. Okay. So I mean, we both know that you don't really see it, but I think that kind of freaks me out more. But I feel if I was in their situation and I heard those noises, I wouldn't have to see anything for me to go, okay, I don't think I need to go camping anymore. But there's another one. I think it's called Exists.
Yep. I bring that one up all the time. And I've actually brought it up to other Bigfoot guests. And I'm like, if I saw the one from Exists, I think I'd be pretty screwed up.
Yeah. I would be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm fine. I don't need to go on the woods again. I'll just stay in my house.
Yeah, exactly. I'll watch it on TV. I'm done hiking.
Yeah,
I live in Salt Lake City. Oh, well, I don't need to go outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But yeah, I love those films. I don't take all of them very seriously, because one of the the thing that I think about is, I think it's sad, because I think Bigfoot is so commercialized that not a lot of people take it very seriously. I just think it's a matter of time before people start kind of realizing, hey, maybe this is actually legit. I just think, like, once you have that one, you just need one encounter, I think, to change someone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not completely, but like, I think if everyone kind of got maybe a small encounter, they'd be like, okay, maybe this isn't a joke. Maybe this isn't just the world's longest prank. I think this might actually be legit.
I like that. The world's longest prank. Yeah. There's some really patient folks out there.
Yeah.
Like, no, so, there actually may be some Bigfoot out there.
Yeah. So Shannon, I'm really interested. I don't know if I haven't listened to all your, I need to, I've just been kind of slowly going through all of your episodes, but I just barely started. So it's taking me a little bit, but you said that you've had some encounters, right? And you talked about the one that you had on that, well, I can't remember her name, but the woman's property in Washington. But have you had any other encounters, or
just auditory stuff?
Okay.
I mean, well, possible. See, the thing about the whole auditory thing is, it may sound like Bigfoot, but it doesn't mean it's Bigfoot, kind of a deal, you know.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
that's the problem. So I always say, I always start by going, oh, yeah, I had auditory experience. And I'm like, no, strike okay. that. You had possible Bigfoot auditory yeah. experiences. So I myself yeah. heard a whistle in Salt Fork State Park, which is very cliche okay. because Salt Fork is a very big hotspot, right? And it's got tons of Bigfooters. Right. But the problem with this was, not a problem, it was very cool, but the problem with that theory about it being another Bigfooter is that we were sitting in this location for, I mean, a couple of hours, and we're kind of, we're spinning this glow stick to make a cool, like, Crocodile Dundee noise. I don't know if you've watched that movie, but makes that whirring sound, and then we would just be really quiet and listen and listen. And Salt Fork yeah. State Park is filled with thorny undergrowth. It is insane. And unless you have a serious machete, especially in the part that we were in on this forest road, Forest Service road, you're not getting through there. At one point, we were at one of the lulls when we were not swinging anything and making racket and talking. And I swear it must have been, it was ground level. And we're talking like, I forget, 1 or 2 in the morning. It was very, very late. And not, I swear to God, it must have been 2 or 3 feet, 5 feet max, right in front of us in this very thick undergrowth full of thorns was this loud monotone whistle. And I was standing and I instantly just, you know, you talk about the primal instincts. I just went to a crouching position. I knew I didn't want to yep. run. I just went to a crouching position to make myself smaller. And that was, it was so loud. And, you know, when you talk about you're trying to do your recordings and it's tough to impart that. And, you know, that was even something that Donna said. She's like, if I heard these in person versus what you're playing on the show, it's so much louder, you know, when you're actually there. And it's really hard to impart the volume and maybe the set of lungs that it's coming from. But much like you said in the beginning, it sounded like it had lips. And I'm like, that is not a bird. It is 2 in the morning. And if unless it's a pterodactyl with lips, because it sounded huge, it scared the fire out of me. It really did. It scared me. But it lit the fire for me, for Bigfoot, so much that even just that one experience would have been enough. But and that was that was amazing. But also when I was out in Washington State at another property with Wes of Sasquatch Chronicles, we were playing A Baby Cry. And you could also try this. Derek Randles would maybe vote against this. I don't know if you've heard his experience, but pretty bad. But we played A Baby Cry at the Brown property, and something came in, and it was like doing this whoop in groups of 3, and it sounded. We all agreed it sounded feminine, which is weird to say, but it did. It just did. Even Wes and I are both like, that sounds feminine. What the hell? And it was very sing-song, like trying to soothe a baby or something. I mean, it's all conjecture.
Yeah.
It's all conjecture. I'm not saying it's a Bigfoot. I'm just saying it was weird. But those are basically the main, possible auditory experiences that I've had. But I have said so many times, I'm like, if I have an experience that's really super scary, or you're off on a trail by yourself, which you're not supposed to be, but, you know, or you see something like with a human type of face, or, you know, like the thing from Exist, maybe. I don't know. I don't know that that would be such a good thing for most people, you know?
Man, you telling me those stories just gave me like chills, because it's, I know how you feel. I don't know why the whistling is terrifying, especially when it's right next to you. It's so loud. Scary.
It's so loud. And you know what the cool thing was, Brody, is that we were playing that Baby Cry on Wes's phone, And now keep in mind, because everyone's like, well, where's the recording of the whooping with the sing song? The problem was it was drizzling. It was Washington State. It was drizzling. Mm-hmm. And yeah. we didn't have a recorder on that side of where we were at. So it just was one of those things, just like with your Bluetooth. It always yep. happens that way. And everyone's like, oh, sure. But really, it does.
I know.
But yeah, the cool thing was the phone dies. And this had been going on for, we're talking like 45 minutes, the baby cry. And then the whooping had gone on for like 10 or 15 minutes. It's kind of hard to remember. But,
oh, my gosh.
But the second the phone died because the battery went, the whoops were gone. And nothing else happened the entire night. No. We don't hear anything walk in. We don't hear anything walk out. And we're just going, that was so cool.
Yeah, that's, oh, man, when you say that, it makes me want to go out and, like, honestly, like, I don't have a problem with just hearing them from a distance away, but to say, like, I want to see one up close, but I really don't know how I react and how it affects me mentally.
Right, right.
I don't.
Because I just think it's a whole nother, because it's so exciting just to hear them, right? Or what you think may be yeah. them. Let's just get that right. Yeah. What you think may be yeah. them is so exciting that, like you said, you might go out tonight, but I think there is a very fine line between having an experience that is a confirmation that then pushes you further into the research, between the other side of it to where you're going, I am so far down the food chain out there that it is ridiculous, you know, and you're kind of going, yeah. I don't care how many people go out. I don't care how big my gun is. Cause we've heard that before, right? Yeah. People are like, I could have yeah. had the biggest gun, you know, for an elephant. And unless it was a well-placed shot, it's not going to do anything. And you're going, well, yeah, that is yeah. a big friggin' creature, man. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's a really fine line and you can't choose your encounter. You just can't.
Yep. Yep. Well, after listening and reading so many articles, the last time I went out there, I was like, it doesn't matter if I'm in my car out there. I don't feel safe anymore. Knowing, like, this thing could probably just rip my car door off and I wouldn't be able to do anything about it. Because I used to feel safe doing it in my car. But after, you know, like you just said, it doesn't matter what kind of gun you have. It doesn't matter what you have with you, unless you have like a tank or something. I don't know if my car would do anything. I don't think it would.
Well, and it's kind of one of those things where, you know, you just try to mitigate your risk. So you back into a place so that you don't have to reverse and do the Austin Powers, yeah. you know, 6-point turn to get out and all of that.
Yeah.
It's just all about mitigating risk and not going by yourself. I mean, I think you're doing it as right as you can.
Yeah.
But man, yeah, I don't know. I don't care though. I'm still like you. I'm like, I don't care. I still want to see one. I guess I'll have to
yeah.
figure it out after it happens, whether or not it was a good thing or a bad thing. But yeah, please let me know if anything else goes down.
Yeah.
Utah is one of my favorite places on the planet. I mean, not only did I grow up going out to Duck Creek, but I had my, you know, my kind of inception into the paranormal happen there. And
yeah.
That place made me kind of the weird girl that I am. So I really want to keep in yeah. touch, and I want you to let me know what's going on out there. Maybe we could kind of converse and keep logs of what's going on. Cause I would really like other people to come forward if they've had any experiences up there in Big or Little Cottonwood Canyon. And of course, Payson Canyon.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love that.
I mean, like you said, everywhere people are just not very keen on sharing, and I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
No one wants to be the kook.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it rolls.
Shannon, I just want to give you a big thank you and just for giving me your time. Cause I think everyone's time is super valuable. So I really appreciate you letting me come on and share some of my quote unquote experiences with you.
Absolutely, Brody. No, thank you for getting in touch. I mean, I wouldn't have a show if nobody wanted to talk to me. So it's all about you
yeah.
guys just reaching out. So thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
All right, man. Well, have a good day. And yeah, let me know what goes down, okay?
Thank you, Shannon. I will, and I'll send over that recording.
Thank you. That would be amazing.
All right. Thank you, Shannon. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, Brody. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bio. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. And because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real evil, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. in his poem, The Four Quartets, where he says, when you settle down in the train to read your newspaper and so on, you are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.